Let's look again at Matthew chapter 6, a passage that we read just now. Remember that earlier on in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus has been confronting the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees and all those who boast of being very pious, being very religious, being very righteous and close to God. And the Lord has given the contrast between that hypocrisy and true religion or true piety. And thus earlier on in this chapter, we see how the Lord deals with the giving of alms and prayer and fasting. These are religious activities. These are things that are done supposedly in the name of God for Him, and yet they are done really in the service of self by those who are hypocrites. They pray not to speak to God, but to show off in front of other people. They give alms, they fast, again, not as a way of serving God or drawing nearer to Him, but in order to show off, so that people will be impressed by them. They're using religion as an excuse to promote themselves in the eyes of others. Now, in all these cases, the Lord Jesus gave a contrast between what these hypocrites obtain on earth and what may really be obtained by God. This temporal reward versus the true spiritual and lasting reward. So, for example, just earlier on in verse 16, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So there is a contrast in the reward. Of course, only one of these is a true reward. But in both cases, something is obtained. Yet those who are hypocrites, those who do all this for self-promotion, obtain what is false, what is fleeting, what is temporal, what is vanity, really. The popularity, the prestige, the honor they may get will only last for a time. It will not be true. It is not really meaningful or worthwhile. And so we have here from verse 19 a general application that we should not be seeking earthly rewards of any kind, because all of these things are vain. All of these things are without profit. Rather, we should seek heavenly rewards. Heavenly rewards rather than earthly rewards. And there are two reasons given for this. First of all, there is the temporal nature of earthly rewards. They are fleeting. They don't last. They vanish away. The second reason is the moral danger that comes when our focus is on these earthly things rather than on spiritual things. So the temporal nature of earthly rewards and the moral danger of them. First of all, the temporal nature is brought out here in verse 19. Moth and rust and thieves are found here on earth. Therefore, the things that we try to obtain, the treasures that we lay up here, will not last. The moth and the rust will corrupt them. The thieves will steal them. Now, so far, these treasures on earth have to do with popularity, fame, promotion, prestige, admiration, and so on. And these are fickle, reputation. These things don't last. But the Lord Jesus, again, is broadening the point here. It's not just fame and reputation, but all earthly things, wealth, pleasure, all these things that are merely earthly under the sun are vain. They don't last. Remember what Solomon discovered in Ecclesiastes, how he goes through all the things that he tried to achieve, all the things he tried to obtain, all the ways in which he tried to make life meaningful and worthwhile under the sun, seeking pleasure, entertainment, seeking great achievements and accolades, seeking great wealth, accumulation of great riches and treasures. All these things, he said, were vanity, because he would one day die and leave all these things behind. They would be gone. He would not be able to bring all these things with him. All his works, all the things that he built, all these great monuments would crumble and decay. All the wealth that he hoarded, he could not take with him. It would be passed on to someone else. All the entertainment, the pleasure that he was able to get, it never lasted. All earthly things decay. Extravagant riches are plundered. Even the greatest empires that are built eventually fall. And nowadays, this is perhaps more true than ever with our connectivity, with the internet. It's so easy for things to just disappear, even wealth. Now our wealth is mostly stored digitally in a bank account somewhere, and that can go. And we've seen this happen even in our own lifetimes. Wealth that people think is secure is not at all. Fame and popularity also are more unstable than ever. Earthly things, earthly treasures are not to be highly regarded, not to be sought after. They are not the main thing. They are not the priority. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we cannot have anything on earth. It doesn't mean you cannot have any store of anything on earth. Of course, you need something laid up. You need to plan for the future and so on. There are legitimate things, responsibilities. But the point is not to focus on these things, not to have them as our treasure, not to have earthly things as the prize that we are really seeking after. This is what we want to obtain. This is what we must obtain if we are ever going to be happy and satisfied and so on. That cannot be the way we think of earthly riches. Rather, we use what we have on earth while our eyes are fixed on a greater prize, on heavenly treasures. We are laying up ultimately treasures in heaven. Whatever we have on earth is used to that end, is a means to that end, not an end in itself. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There is a security and a stability in heavenly treasures. No corruption, no theft. And realize how amazing it is what we are told here. You can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You're not in heaven now, but even now you can be laying up treasures that are there, that are secure. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to begin laying up treasures in heaven. You can do that now because you are in the Lord. You are brought into the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. You are already a citizen of that heavenly kingdom. You are no longer of the earth. You're in the world, but not of the world. You belong there. Christ is our life, and that's where He is. We are able to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, what are these heavenly treasures? I think this is a reference to those spiritual blessings that are associated with salvation in Christ, the fullness of that salvation. For example, if we look at 1 Peter, First Peter chapter 1. See how the Apostle Peter describes this. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there is something awaiting us, an inheritance, a fullness of salvation, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Again, there's this contrast. Now and then. What we go through now may be very difficult, very, very trying, but we are looking to what lies ahead, to that inheritance, to that fullness of salvation. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is the heavenly treasure. The trial of your faith, something more precious than gold. Gold that perishes. Even though gold may be tried with fire, it's not going to last forever. But your faith, when it is tried, when it is tested, when it is refined, that will last forever. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Again, this is salvation in its full sense. Not just believing in the Lord Jesus, entering the kingdom, but the consummation of that salvation with its rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. A reward for our works, works of faith. We lay up treasures in heaven, therefore, by living now according to that heavenly citizenship, by living as citizens of heaven, by serving the King of Kings, by doing His will, by submitting to Him, by a life of faith. Now, we lay up treasures in heaven. When we trust and obey, regardless of how uncertain the times may be. That's your theme, right? Trusting God in uncertain times. That's laying up treasures in heaven. Trust and obey, whatever the earthly circumstances, because you belong to that heavenly kingdom in Christ. If we are laying up treasures on earth, then we will lose everything we have laid up. But what we lay up in heaven will not be lost. It is kept. We have all the blessings, in fact, that the Lord spoke of at the beginning of this sermon. The Beatitudes, Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a reward here. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. To respond rightly in all these circumstances is to be laying up treasures in heaven. You can see how that mindset, that perspective, as a governing principle, guides us even in uncertain times and difficult times. Our heart is there. Our thoughts are there. Not here. Not here only. Who can say in the midst of persecution, this is something to rejoice in? Only the one who is looking ahead to that reward that is promised. The reward is not now. At least it's not apparent now. There's difficulty, there's trial, there's suffering, there's distress and persecution. But the reward is promised. We lay hold on that by faith. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But there's more than just the question of whether we will lose what we are laying up or not. Lay up in heaven, not on earth, because if you lay up on earth, you will lose. If you lay up in heaven, you will not lose. It's more than just the question of whether we will lose it or not. There's a moral dimension to this. In both cases, to lay up treasures on earth is to fail morally, to bring upon ourselves moral guilt. Because while we are hoarding and accumulating things on earth, we are failing to do what God wants us to do. We are failing to use our earthly possessions for God's purpose. We make an idol of them. Remember what James says in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Not a reward, not treasure, but misery. These are rich men now, but their treasures are all now. And because of their misuse of what they have now, they bring upon themselves misery in the future. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. We've seen this already. But look at verse 3. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Not only have you lost what you sought to accumulate, but your failure to use it rightly is a witness against you. You are guilty before God, and you have brought judgment on yourselves. That's the misery that is awaiting these rich men. The rust of them, the waste of all these things that you should have been using for the Lord and His kingdom and His purpose, is a witness against you. To lay up treasures on earth is to waste and squander what has been given to us by God, is to fail in our duty of stewardship before God. He has given us these things that we might use them for His purpose. But we have made these things our God. We have made the accumulation of these things on earth our goal. We have failed to serve God. There is a danger to earthly treasures. Verse 21 of Matthew 6. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not only will you lose what you accumulate or seek to accumulate on earth, but if your heart is here, if your treasure is here, then your heart is here and your whole life is crooked. Your whole life is gone astray. You're no longer walking rightly, no longer doing and living as God commands and desires. You make choices to maximize earthly gain at the expense of spiritual gain. Why? Because your treasure is here. Therefore, your heart is here. And if your heart is here, that sets the course of your life. That's what you will decide. Or that's what you will base your decisions on. If there's a choice between honoring the Lord's Day and getting more profit on the Lord's Day, which will you choose? Well, it depends where your treasure is, right? If your treasure is in heaven, then of course you will honor the Lord on His day. Because that is laying up treasures in heaven. That's what the Lord wants. That's where your heart is. But if your treasure is on earth, then you will not honor the Lord's day. You will be seeking profit on the Lord's day. Because that's where your heart is. There's a danger in seeking after earthly treasures. The heart is wrong. The heart is not rightly ordered. This again is the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Whose praise did they seek? God's or man's? They sought the praise of men, right? That was their treasure on earth. And that determined how they lived. That was their religion. A man-pleasing religion. Their treasure was here on earth. Their heart was here on earth. Thus they rejected the Son of God Himself when He stood before them. They could not see. They would not see. And they crucified Him. But again, it's not just the scribes and Pharisees. It's so easy for us as well to fall in this way. our heart is fixed not on things above, but on things on the earth. And then our whole life goes off track. And the Lord Jesus brings home his point using this analogy here in verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The light of the body is the eye. The eye, of course, is the organ which enables the body to perceive and respond to light. It is what allows us to be guided with our eyes. When there is light, it gets into us, as it were, through the eye. It profits us through the eye. If you have no eyes, then whether there is light or not makes no difference to you, right? The light of the body is the eye. Because we have eyes, we can be illumined by light, we can make use of light. And if our eye is single here meaning not one as opposed to two, but untainted, uncompromised. If the eye is pure, then the whole body can benefit, can be guided by the light, can walk in the light. If thine eye be single, not clouded, not corrupted in some way, then your whole body is full of light. The light gets in, you can see clearly, you can walk rightly. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If there's something wrong with the eye, if it is not functioning properly, then there is only darkness. Now this analogy is applied to the heart. If the eyes of your heart, as it were, are pure and fixed rightly, then you are guided rightly by heavenly light, the light of God's word, the light of his will revealed to us. If your heart is set on that heavenly prize, then all is well. But if your heart is darkened by evil desires, if you are no longer single in your devotion to the Lord, no longer fixed on spiritual treasure, then there is corruption, there is cloudiness, clouding the vision, as it were, of your heart. You can't see clearly, can't think clearly, can't feel rightly, and cannot live rightly. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If what is supposed to bring light, if what is supposed to enable you to be guided by the light is darkened, then can there ever be light? There is only great darkness. You are like a blind man groping around in this world, unable to find the way. Vanity of vanities. As Solomon says, that's all you will find. Great darkness, vanity upon vanity. No meaning, no purpose, no satisfaction, no profit under the sun. While we are seeking to lay up treasures on earth. This is a needful warning and reminder. Once we start down this path of seeking earthly treasure, it may easily consume us. Once we allow our hearts to be darkened, the eye, as it were, to be darkened, to be clouded, we are depriving ourselves of the light that we need to live rightly and to walk rightly. Remember what the Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is the root of all evil. Those who desire it and covet after it, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They bring themselves into a snare. Devotion to earthly treasure will lead you to this. And it will keep you from the light. Jesus said in John chapter 3, the condemnation is that light is come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They did not want to come to the light. They did not want to be reproved. They did not want to give up these earthly treasures. Their heart was so set on them. Remember what happened to the rich young ruler. It's a great tragedy, isn't it? Someone to come so close to the Lord Jesus, to ask Him, what must I do to have eternal life? To be called by Him, come and follow me. And yet, he went away sorrowing. He walked away from the Son of God, sorrowing. He wasn't mocking, he wasn't ridiculing. He went away sorrowing. Isn't that a tragedy? He knew he was missing something. He knew he was walking away from someone very precious and important. But he just couldn't let go of the earthly treasures. He had great possessions. He just could not give those things up. We can be in a similar situation. It may not be money. It may be other things. It may be popularity. It may be fame. It may be the admiration of others. It may be entertainment. Things that we just can't let go. Even though we know what the Lord wants. Even though we know that this is the right way. That this is the way that leads to life and rewards in heaven. Because our heart is so set on these things, we can't let them go. We can't do the things that we ought to do. We can be in that situation also. If our treasures are on earth, if our heart is here, then we will not be able to live rightly. We will not reach that end that is promised. Therefore, again, verse 33 of Matthew 6, as you know well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek heavenly treasures, you will not miss the things that you need on earth. You will lose nothing. You gain everything and lose nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let that be the priority. Again, we are here in the world. There are many things we can enjoy in the world, legitimately, lawfully, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek His righteousness first. Do His will. Make that the priority. Have your treasures in heaven, not on earth, and then you will have everything you need, now and forever. May the Lord help us to remember this. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder and this command to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus we can enter your kingdom. We can have the righteousness which comes from you by faith in the Lord. And we pray you will help us to live according to this faith, according to your word. Keep us from the snares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life, the praise of men, and all the entertainment and pleasures that seek to allure us away from true joy and satisfaction in you. Please help us and be with these FCMers even in this time of the camp when they have come away from the world to seek you in your word. We pray you will bless this time to them, that they may truly be refreshed spiritually, and reminded of spiritual truths that they need to hold fast to. We pray you will use this time to be of great profit to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.